What if the Fountain of Youth...
I feel great.
...was filled with ice?
It's a shock.
Cold water immersion has become wildly popular.
It's like going to the gym for our minds.
But is there science behind the hype?
The literature is so scant on it.
This week on Open Record, we're taking a plunge into the virtues of ice baths.
If we can find peace in the ice, we can find peace anywhere.
From the Fox 6 Studios, this is Open Record. I'm your host, Brian Polson, and I'm joined by Open Record's executive producer, Sarah Smith. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
And I can't believe it's taken this long for this to happen, but we are joined today over Zoom for his maiden voyage aboard Open Record. Fox 6's Ted Perry is here. Ted, welcome to the podcast at long last.
Did I just clap for myself?
I think you did. You clapped before I did. Your clap prompted my clap.
Yeah.
We are recording this episode on Wednesday, October 4th, for release on Thursday, October 5th. And Ted, hours after this is released, you're going to be reporting on something that many of us have heard about, but maybe, at least I'm speaking for myself here, maybe a bit too chicken to actually try. How did you get started in the first place on the topic of ice baths?
The topic of ice bath immersion started for me with a good friend of mine from my childhood, who's still one of my best friends, Mike Plum. Mike is a Mike has his own business, his own masonry business in the Chicago area, and he had some physical back pain from its very strenuous work that he did. And he learned about a guy called Wim Hof. Wim Hof is a Dutch gentleman who's now in his mid-60s. Who is kind of a phenomenon and has been studied by scientists because he takes a multifaceted approach to healing and health. And that includes breathing techniques, which we can talk a little bit about, but it also includes ice bath immersion or cold water immersion, which is just what it sounds like. It's getting your body into a state of, frankly, just being uncomfortable. We talk often, especially in Wisconsin, about the dangers of being in the water, of hypothermia, and those are legitimate concerns. So you're saying, why do I want to plunge into something that can be so dangerous? If you do it correctly, it can be beneficial. And that's what the story is about. How much time do you go into the ice? How long should you be in? How cold should the water be? These are all interesting factors, and I'll give you a little spoiler alert. The exact science isn't quite there yet. We know about ice baths for athletes for decades, right? You see the old, they look like water troughs for cattle, and the athletes sitting in there after a game. I mean, imagine you could find a picture of Babe Ruth in one. I mean, it was probably ice and bourbon and beer in there, but still, it was ice, right? But lately, over the last several years, people have started to use ice immersion for anxiety, depression, and other ills that they might be dealing with as part of a holistic approach to improving all those ailments I just listed.
Okay, so Ted, one of our colleagues just had to go home yesterday because her water heater, hot water heater, broke. So she was like, I've been showering in the cold and it's horrible. And why do people want to do this? So, I mean, all we want is nice warm water and stuff. So can I just turn the water on cold at my house and be like, look at me, I'm taking an ice water thing? Or like,
yeah. Okay. That's a great question, Sarah. Yeah. And that's how my buddy Mike, when my buddy Mike told me about this, I said, there's no way I'm doing this. I'm not doing it. And look, I tell you what, I just talked to him this morning to get a few updates on how he's doing. He said, I went for a 5-minute swim in Lake Michigan last night. He lives in Chicago, and we share a lake, as we all know, with Chicago, Lake Michigan. And he said, I felt great. I was in there for 5 minutes. The water's getting cold. Now, sometimes in the summer, Lake Michigan is too warm for what he's hoping to do and what he's hoping to achieve. So he swam in Lake Michigan for about 5 minutes last night. And he said, I felt great for hours. And he describes it as an excellent burning sensation. But look, both of you are parents, right? And both of you have had kids who are sick. And what's one of the first things you do? You say, well, let me put a cold compress on your head. Let me see if that settles you down. Let me see if that helps to reduce your fever. Let me see if that takes away some of your stress. That's all we're really doing here, right? There's a term for it called hormesis. And again, let me just be really clear about this. I am a C student from the University of Wisconsin with a journalism degree. I am not a scientist, so whatever you hear from me is what I have gathered from the research I've done on this story.
And let's be clear, not an expert. C was the average. Okay? Right.
So, yeah, C's, yeah, but high C. I like to go to high C student. Like, 275, you just, you know, whatever. I'm here now. That's what's important. Anyway, so Smitty, to answer your question, Sarah, that's how I started. Mike said, well, just at the end of the shower, turn it down. It's like the reverse lobster effect, right? The lobster in that boil, in the pot of water that slowly he or she supposedly doesn't realize it's getting hotter. I don't know if we've ever interviewed lobsters to verify that, but same thing here. Take your shower, do your hair, shave, whatever you do in the shower. And then at the end, give yourself a little bit of a turn down the dial. Maybe you won't be able to stand it for more than 30 seconds. But I'm at the point now, if I'm too busy to fill up the ice pod, which we're going to show you in a few minutes here, I'll do that. And I will just sit and let the water run down. And the important thing here is the breathing, is that we talk about controlling your breath in and out and not letting that cold get to you, right? Because you want to shock the system, but you don't want to shock it to the point where you have a cardiac arrest or get so wigged out that you slip and fall.
Well, and that's, so, Ted, I think that's one of the interesting that's one of the interesting things here is that the importance of that shock moment, because when you talk about gradually turning the shower knob down or maybe sitting in a bathtub and letting the water slowly fill up around you, which actually I think is almost more torturous because it's just that slow feel. But some people say, well, I could do that, but I don't know about the just jumping right in. Is there a benefit to the jumping right in and getting that immediate shock that just takes your breath away?
Yeah, but I think you have to eventually get there. I think, you know, because like anything with exercise, you don't start out and run a marathon by saying, I'm going to run 25 miles today and see how it goes. No, you start with a mile. Mm-hmm. Then the next day you run a mile, and then maybe you run a mile and a half. I think, and again, this is me, the approach I would take is make it a gradual approach, because you don't want somebody to be so uncomfortable and not see the benefits and just have the fear factor of diving into a cold pool and going, that was awful, without the training. So like Sarah said, maybe start with the shower and work on those breathing techniques. The Wim Hof method, it's also known as diaphragmic breathing. And it's something I'm on my back porch and I do it year round out here. It's one of the first things I do every morning. It's a series of quick breaths and then exhalation and not bringing a breath in and just seeing how long you can go without that intake of air. And I do that for 3 rounds. And that's enough to sort of jumpstart my breathing system and my circulation in the morning. And again, I was talking to, again, my friend Mike about this. And the research, which we talk about in the story, isn't quite there. Again, we know inflammation is lessened by ice immersion. But in terms of depression and anxiety, there's enough research to show that, yeah, for a short amount of time, it does work. People in the story that I shot with our photojournalist Colin, we went down to Bradford Beach on a Saturday morning where there's a group of guys who run you through a yoga practice and then a breathing practice that I just talked about, that diaphragmic breathing, where you get those. And it's something you do to work on. And then when you got the yoga and you're all chilled out by the breathing techniques and you're relaxed, then it's time to put those things to the test, right? Then it's time to get into that ice bath and see how you can deal. And the goal when you get into that ice bath is not to go back to the, I can't do this. Yeah. It's to go, okay,
so,
I can control this.
Okay, so a handful of years ago, we all did the Tough Mudder.
Yeah, I was just thinking
and
the same thing.
As I watched your story.
Oh, yeah.
And all I could think about was when I still think about it. And I got in that cold, it was like a dumpster.
You've got to go under
the ice. You have to go under the water. And I remember getting in and literally took my breath away. And then, because I was not training on my breathing, I started to, like almost panic attack where I was like, I can't breathe. I can't get my breath. So how long now? Okay, now that was a different kind of situation, but something I think about as we're talking about this.
Sure.
How long is too long? So as you train, per se, your body.
Yeah.
How long, like the people that you hung out with on that Saturday at Bradford Beach, how long are they sitting in the water?
That's Sarah, that's a great question. And I love that you brought up the Tough Mudder part of it because, yeah, that was a shock. We were running around. our heart levels were here. You know, we were all babies in the woods there. We didn't really know what we were doing that day. You know, a tough mud for sure. And then we said, oh, yeah, let's run through an electrical field. I mean, that was crazy what we did, details. Right? And you have to go into this dumpster. For people who don't know what we're talking about, picture a dumpster. And then they put a divider in the middle with maybe this much space where you have to go into this thing, take a breath, go under it. So now it's like you're Houdini and you're hoping you can come up through the ice. And you get to the other end, and it's miserable. It's miserable. And so you don't really have a chance to prepare for it. This is different in that you do have a chance. Now, getting back to the time thing, and this is where I talked about with some experts from UWM and the research that's been done, says the sweet spot here, the sweet spot, if you can do the ice bath, which we're going to show you here in a second, if you can do that for 11 minutes a week over 4 dunks, let's call it, or soaks, let's call it. So that works out. The math is about 2.5 minutes, 2.5 to 3 minutes, where you're in there, you're getting a chance to breathe, you're getting a chance to settle, get your heart rate as low as you can, conquer the fear, conquer the cold, then you come out of it. And again, it's sort of like a revival. People are hopping out of the water and just hugging each other. I know it all sounds a little new agey, but I think if you try it with the shower and you get out of the shower and you, whoa, I got that brain rush. I got that adrenaline rush, that dopamine rush. So that the science right now says about 11 minutes a week over 3 or 4 dunkings or soakings, whatever you want to call it.
So it's not a huge time commitment.
Some do it longer. The biggest time commitment is going to get the ice.
I was going to say filling
up the tub, right? Yeah.
Are you monitoring your heart rate while you're in there? Or are you just
I have, but I don't often. Okay. I'm more concerned about my breath.
Okay.
So, but that's a good question. And I could, maybe I'll do that today for you. I'll check my heart beat going in or heart rate going in. And then I'm going to have you guys set a timer for me. And I'm going to trust that you're going to tell me in 2.5 minutes.
You mentioned,
I could just say you two just
taking the headphones off.
Ted mentioned the dopamine rush. And I remember when you go back to that Tough Mudder thing, even though it was very brief, there's a picture of me that someone took because we had a group that did this together. When I got out the other end, and you're in the middle of sort of a race, like you said, your heart rate's up, it's a challenge, you're with teammates. And then we went through that. When I came out the other end, I had a moment where like I did a Hulk kind of like, I felt a huge rush and hadn't expected it. Was miserable going through that tank coming out. Now that's just a brief experience, but I wonder, is that a big part of this? When you've sat in completely immersed in freezing cold water, ice cold water for 3 minutes and you get out, do you have that sort of surge of adrenaline?
You absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I call it almost a revival when we are down. And the group that does this, by the way, is called Breathe Social. One guy leads the yoga class and another guy leads the breathing, and they together do the ice baths and get people in there together. Total strangers were coming out and just sort of embracing each other and saying, good job. And it's a really supportive community for those who want to try it and aren't sure how they try it alone.
So the people that we see in your story, a lot of them, because they were doing the yoga, they're a little bit more on the athletic side, or they're at least kind of that way. Do you have to be a certain body type or a certain age or anything
fitness
to
level.
Do this? Yeah.
No, there were people there in their 80s that day. There were people in their 20s that day. I do recommend, and I think this almost goes without saying, but let's make sure, because it'll make the lawyers happy that we say this, check with your doctor first, obviously.
Right,
maybe you might have a pre-existing condition that it might not be the best thing. So obviously talk to your physician or your mental health provider, or your health provider, whoever you've been dealing with, say, hey, I want to try this. But again, sometimes they think it's even the placebo effect, but you know what? Who cares? If a placebo works, it works. If you think taking the green pill improves your memory and you're pulling out facts from fifth grade, well, then it worked, right? So
I think
the
about
conclusion from the UWM professionals that I talked about this, they say, look, the research is mostly anecdotal at this point in terms of anxiety and depression, but there is more research being done and they're looking forward to seeing where the research goes. But the bottom line is, if it's not hurting you and you're feeling better after, why not give it a go if you want to try it? And you know, I would encourage people to stick with it. You don't have to go out and buy, you know, this thing was $140, this ice pod that I have. And it's portable. I could take it anywhere. I could take it to work if we wanted to have ice baths together after the show. I don't need together, but you know, hold on. We don't need to get any time.
You know what I'm imagining? I'm imagining Ted after like election night, and he's got, you know, the ice pack on the shoulder, and he's in the ice bath. And we're like, how was the show today? Let's have a little debrief.
Just relaxing.
Well, we good. We got the fifth district results in early, and I felt good about that. And then, we had the wrong graphic up, but I think it's pretty good. And I'm chilling out in this bathtub.
A little trouble there in the C block, but we rallied. You know, you talk about the science though. You say that we have in terms of the anxiety and depression impact, that sort of science is still out there. More research needs to be done. But you mentioned this as part of the Wim Hof method, which a big part of that is the breathing. And there is research that says the breathing has some real impacts on some of that, right?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, you guys are cutting in and out a little bit, but I think you're talking about the Wim Hof breathing. And Sarah knows we did a story in 2021 on the importance of breathing correctly. There's a book called Breath by James Nestor, a journalist who was having trouble breathing. And he did this wonderful search on breath. And he came to two conclusions. One, we're doing too much of it because we should all be slowing down how much breathing we're doing. We're breathing too quickly and we're breathing incorrectly. So many of us are mouth breathers, bringing in the air through that way.
The worst.
You really want to be a nose breather. You really want to be a nose breather because what's happening in the nose, there's a filtering system there. And there's so much more benefits to breathing through the nose than there is to being a mouth breather. In fact, being a mouth breather can be downright dangerous to your health.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
It sounds like harsh criticism, but no, you're right.
Yeah. It's
mechanically,
true.
That's true. It. So Ted, I know you said you have a tub there. You have one that you actually purchased, a portable, and you're going to demonstrate for us.
Yeah.
I was using an
old garbage can for
Stop.
A while.
No.
A big
like
garbage
Oscar?
Can.
The grout?
Yeah, kind of. And that was too hard to get in and out of because it was like chest high.
Well, yeah.
So this
would
one
it just
is...
tip? I'm like, oh gosh, yeah. Okay.
And then all the water you waited for just poured out.
Filled.
Then you had to pour the water out, right? And this has a nice draining system so I can water the lawn when it's done.
Yeah.
And then I got stuck in the garbage can and North Shore Fire had to come and get
stop,
me out.
Stop.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay, wait.
Do you guys want to see how this?
Yes.
Go ahead.
But then just know that we also have Off the Record. So when you're done with Off the Record, you think you can do Off the Record in it?
Well, this is my question. No, because Off the Record usually takes us more than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that you're not going to want to sit there. Like,
so can you go in
cube.
There and
well,
then
no,
get
I,
out and still talk?
I have a quick change of clothes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can do the ice bath. I'll come out of the ice bath.
Okay.
You're going to see how much more rejuvenated I am.
Okay.
Rejuvenated.
You're
going to
do Off the Record. Off the Record after the dopamine rush.
Yes.
Hits. That's fantastic.
It'll be great because my question's great.
I don't know what Off the Record is. What is that?
I
know what it means.
You'll see.
You'll find out. Yeah.
Okay. You guys aren't going to ask me real personal questions.
Sounds like he's a real fan of the podcast.
He's a real fan. He's
are you ready?
Thanks. Yep. We're ready.
All right. So we're going to go outside here. And I don't know how this is going to work. So tell me. What can we see here? Can you see that there?
Yeah.
We see just
fine. Oh, how's that work?
Yeah, that works great.
Great.
Does that work pretty well?
Yeah.
Oh, I think our chief photographer, Cale Zimney, would be very proud of how I... Now, Sarah and I talked about this. She won't let me go full Monty. I don't know why.
I
have to wear a shirt.
I don't think anyone wants that.
I hate wearing a shirt in water.
Fine.
And I got two bags.
I thought you were going to be like, I got a Coke and a bag of pretzels.
Sendex ice here.
Now you're a coffee drinker. Do you drink coffee?
I don't know why I'm plugging Sendex.
They make some great ice.
Could I drink coffee?
Do you drink coffee before or after this? Or have you stopped drinking coffee?
Do I drink? You're breaking up a little bit, Cindy.
It doesn't matter. I was going to ask if you drink coffee.
Go ahead.
Like, does the caffeine, because you're a coffee drinker, right? So does the caffeine affect all of that stuff? Like, I know it affects heart rate. I understand what caffeine
does. That's a really good question that I don't have the answer to.
Great. Okay.
So, okay. Cause not that I don't trust you guys.
Okay.
But
okay. I got
Siri,
it.
Give me a 2 hour. No, not two,
2 hours.
Hours. Siri, give me a 2 minute and 45 second timer, please. Okay. 2 minutes and 45 seconds. So,
great.
We got the ice in here. Now, I can't keep talking this whole time. So, you guys are going to talk because
what
I really want to do here, and I haven't had a chance to do because we've been talking, is I want to get those deep breaths in, right? I want to get them in and
Well, why don't you do your breathing and Brian and I can commentate.
I don't want. We can play by play.
Well, I'll do this in stages. So here's the first
part. Like I'm cold for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel. So we're just gonna go in here and go down.
Oh wow.
Okay.
That just seemed that ice pour over the edge.
Okay.
And you can even hear that I'm a little bit out of breath here, but I want to slow it down. And sorry about looking away. I don't want to look in the camera.
No. That's let's not make eye contact. So, yes.
Yeah. It's just like in the hallways. That's what Smitty says. Don't make eye contact.
just look down.
If you have a script to run by me, just email me.
I'm really impressed. The fact that you're still sort of talking normally right now, because I think I would have a hard time forming words.
The worst is yet to come here, BP.
So now, are you kneeling? Or are you okay?
But I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna do more than kneel right now.
Oh
boy.
Ta-ta-ta. Now. I'm a little short of breath, as you can hear.
Do you typically like listen to music for these 2 minutes, or are you like in silence?
I try to not be distracted.
Yep.
Because what I'm trying to do is to feel the cold and embrace the cold and conquer the cold. And you're not going to believe me, but right now I'm extremely comfortable.
Wow.
This is something you start to crave it after a while.
I would say it seems like after the shock of the initial immersion passes, then you hit a comfort level, right?
Yeah.
Was that true the first time, or the first time did you sit there and shiver and suffer?
The first time I wouldn't go, I would stand in it.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And then
yeah.
I would go lower, you know, it's zones. It's, you know, knees to toes, and then it's, you know, waist to toes, and then right now, and then some people, but I'm wearing glasses and I'm wearing a headset right now, so we can talk. Some people will do a full immersion under.
Wow.
I don't know that I'm going to do that, but
don't do that with your earbuds in.
Yeah, I mean,
That's a recommendation.
Well, I don't care. They're your earbuds. So,
you know what? I've actually put earbuds through the washer and then they still then work, which is amazing. As long as you don't turn them around right away.
That's a testimonial.
So I knew I couldn't count on you guys.
Did you?
I couldn't count on you guys.
It's time. Yeah, it's no, time. I would have looked at
timer.
Okay.
Oh, he's going under.
Wow.
Okay.
He's going all. Oh, that's.
Oh,
man. I feel so nice in this warm studio right now.
I'm a little sweaty right now.
He seems to do it with such ease.
Yeah.
That obviously he's practiced at this.
Right,
and
he's
worked on
this.
Because,
and he is right. Like,
all right. Are you there still, guys?
We are there.
But it's like for real.
Are you
talk.
With me?
Yes.
We are there. Ted, it's so clear that you have practiced this because from our vantage point, you did that with such ease and such confidence. And
More than that, Brian, I did it with enthusiasm because I really do feel great right now.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to step off screen here to take off the shirt that Smitty insisted I wear.
And that's time for us to go on the record. This is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual, Ted. We have a little fun by answering a question for which we have not prepared. But you know who's prepared that question, Ted?
It's me.
That's right. It's Sarah Smith. She's got the question for us after you are.
Now, Ted.
I want no part of it.
Well, you're going to have all the part. So.
Hold on.
Okay. Well, yes, no. Yeah. I'll talk a little bit first.
Okay.
Because Ted didn't know what off the record is. Maybe he should watch the podcast a little bit more. I'm going to add that to your review.
Okay. I've been busy.
pitch stories and listen to the podcast. Okay. Are you ready, Ted?
Yeah.
I feel like a kid. Are you ready yet? Did you do it
yet? I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. All
right. The question is, what is something totally useless you still have memorized? Think about maybe a song from school. Maybe it's a commercial. Maybe it's your home phone number from when you were growing up.
I can tell you, I know my home phone number.
312-256-0526.
Yeah.
Yeah.
314-343-4934-5.
I'm 262-392-6.
Or my best friends, which I actually remember more as a dial, which was 878-7253.
Back in my day.
But the when it comes to useless things, I can remember, and I don't know if it's useless because at some point it'll come up where everyone else will know and we'll all sing along.
Yeah.
But Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys. I could sing every part of it, every second of it, every word. And I don't know why.
Wow.
But I still remember that from the back in the cassette days.
Yes.
So.
Okay. I like that, Ted.
Is this something I remember and repeat often?
No.
Like, well, when Jimmy Buffett passed away last month, and that was the first album I ever bought with my own money, was Jimmy Buffett. And some of those songs just came back to me by rote, you know, because I wore a groove in that thing playing it so much. But other things like, you know, sometimes you memorize a speech that you had to learn in speech class or something, you know, let the word go forth from this time and place that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, hardened by a long and bitter peace. That's JFK's inaugural address.
Wow.
I was actually thinking of the what's the speech in A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson's speech. You know, that you can't handle.
Well, no, that's not the movie I've memorized. The movie scene I've memorized is Henry V, Shakespeare with Kenneth Branagh, when he's the King of England and they've gone to fight France and they're outnumbered 5-1. And he gives this rousing speech to his ragtag group of men where he says, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he who sheds his blood with me this day shall be my brother. And there are those asleep in England who will rue the day they were not here on St. Crispin's Day."
We have a thespian.
You know, very insightful things. Here's me. Do you guys know Tommy Boy?
Oh, Chris of course. Yeah.
Those are the movie lines. I know.
I can do Tommy Boy too.
I know.
Okay, we're here. You're stupid. You're here.
I think about, and it's funny that now that I do a lot of writing stuff, that we learned a preposition song, and. Okay, I'll sing it for you since everyone was wondering about it. It goes, until, by, into, after, from, across, against, with, toward, on, among, around, along, of, to, beside, beyond, below, at, through, upon, and for, beneath, between, behind, before, without, within, up, over, under, down, about, since, underneath, except, throughout.
Wow.
But now that I do a lot of writing, I'm like, hey, you're ending that sentence in a preposition because I just sang the song. And I know that that's a preposition, so... Now we rewrite the sentence.
That makes me think of another thing that I can. It's probably useless, but I remember that the Schoolhouse Rock.
How
many of the Schoolhouse Rock
things,
songs do you know by heart? And but they're not necessarily useless because they taught us things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, as a journalist, I still know how.
Oh, they're not useless at all.
I know how a bill becomes a law.
There's a lot of the state ones too. Like when I had to learn all the states, and funny enough, I only got up to like Hawaii because it was like Alabama and Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, and then it goes all the way through the states alphabetical. But then I kind of forget what happens after Georgia and Idaho. Like I know what comes next. I just don't know how the tune goes.
Here's the thing.
Oh, well, we get to Illinois, and we get to Illinois, which is eminently forgettable.
Right over it.
Dave is sitting behind the scenes, hoping no one addresses him, and ask him about this, but you know, Dave, if you have one in mind, you're free to speak up. I'm sure you probably have like some Nickelback songs memorized by heart.
Oh, come on now.
Those are fighting words. I'm sorry, Dave. Those are fighting words. All right, so maybe Dave doesn't want to chime in on this one. No, he says no. He doesn't want to do that. You obviously have a lot.
It's a lot.
It's music, right? It's the songs.
Well, that's how I always remember stuff. It's, you know.
But Ted, with yours, I really do get this. Did you ever have like, or were you ever kind of a thespian? Have you ever been in plays or been, you know, stage performances? Because you seem like that would be something you would be drawn to, your delivery.
No, it's one of my regrets that I can't sing. I can't sing a lick. So I didn't go
out
to a musical or anything. Yeah. And I don't think I mean, I love musicals, but I can't sing. I was in a play in grade school, Pinocchio. And this is my only onstage experience as a child. I don't know if you guys know this, but Pinocchio had a bad brother called Punchinello. Okay.
I didn't, but thank you for the education. Not. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so in the play, in this play, I'm supposed to show that I'm just as good as Pinocchio. And the line is, I can raise my right hand. I can raise my left hand. I can raise my right foot and my left foot. And I too can fly. And, I don't know if this is going to surprise you, but a play budget at St. Francis Xavier Grade School in the 1970s was about $4 in safety equipment, and there was a pulley that was rigged up.
Oh, no.
And you guys are probably too young to remember, but there used to be a white, like a ski belt, right, that you would somehow keep you afloat. Like it would go around your midsection if you were water skiing, and that was your safety device. And so our drama teacher, who shall remain nameless for legal reasons, he rigged it up so that somebody backstage would pull that,
and
I would go up in the air, and I would be floating, right? And God forbid we ever try that in rehearsal, you know, because
this was like, you tried it for the first time live?
You did it cold?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hold on, because it gets better or worse depending on your point of view. So I go, I can lift my right leg, and I can fly for about 3 seconds, and then the belt broke, and I was 8 feet in the air, and I tumbled down into the stage in front of the whole school. Laughter, 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 none of it intentional. Even nuns were laughing. Even nuns, so I never saw crack a smile.
Why does this happen?
Had boogers coming out of their nose. They were laughing so hard.
Why does this happen before the internet has taken off in the way that it has? Why is there not a YouTube video of this?
So grateful.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I would have gone viral.
Oh,
and the drama teacher said, get up. You almost killed me. And so that was my stage experience.
And you know what?
Debut and finale.
If only you'd known after that, you probably could have
and
taken
scene.
You probably could have taken an ice bath.
Hey.
Hey, Ted, thank you
I
so
probably
much.
Could have what?
You could have taken an ice bath after that, but you didn't know.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting is now I'm going to go work out, which is usually that's the end of my workout if I go for a run or a long bike ride. I like to reward myself with that.
Oh,
but now I'm all juiced up and feel like I want to work out again.
Now you're going to run a marathon. Also, let it be known that Ted originally in the beginning of this podcast said, no,
this
isn't
going
to
last in
like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very busy. You know, I got a lot going on here.
Same.
You know, we should mention that we're like 10 of us who did that Tough Mudder.
Yes.
And we're the only three who are still alive.
Yeah. Barely.
Well, we do know that there's a GoPro that never
came out of that tank.
That's true.
No, we're the only three that still work at Fox 6. The rest have moved on to lesser pursuits.
Did Chris Hike
did the one the next year. I don't know if he did that one. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Well, Ted, thank you so much for joining us on Open Record. Maybe you'll actually watch this whole episode. And for real, thank you so much. We're long overdue having you on, and we'd love to have you on again very soon.
I'll come on anytime you want.
All right. If you have a topic you would like us to discuss for Open Record or an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, send us an email to fox6investigators@fox.com. As always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible, executive producer Sarah Smith. We have our editor, who's actually running the switcher today, Dave Machuda, and of course, our chief photographer, who often runs the things behind the scenes, Cale Zimney. With that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll be back next week.